Welcome to the Discovering the Jewish Jesus podcast. I'm Rabbi Kurt Schneider, and I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus the Messiah. I believe as you listen and apply the principles from today's message, you'll receive revelation today for a brighter tomorrow. Let's go. Shalom Yedidim, that's Hebrew for friends. God bless you, and welcome today to an expository study through the book of Romans. I'm calling it Journeying Through the Book of Romans. This is season two in this series. Beloved, I really want to encourage you, if you were not able to watch season number one, which consisted of four episodes in its entirety, I really want to encourage you, go back and watch it. It's so important because the book of Romans helps us to understand what the true gospel really is. In season one, I explained that the gospel begins with calling man to repent for his lack of acknowledgement and submission to God. We're going to continue on now, beginning in verse number 18 of chapter number 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. Everyone knows there's a God, for God made it evident to them. We're born into this world knowing there's a creator. That's what he's saying. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, meaning that he's infinite, you look at the sky, it goes on forever. His eternal power that we see in creation, his eternal power and divine nature, his beauty in creation, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse. And again, in season one, I went into great depth about this. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. And I explained all the reasons why, even though people know there's a God, because God made it evident inside us, and because we can see in creation, even though we know, men have not acknowledged him as God. Instead, even today, claiming atheism and agnosticism, all the way back to the time that the New Testament was written, the same thing happening today, men denying God, refusing to submit to his ways, and they do this to their own peril, because as a result, Paul says, they became futile. Futile. You know what that means? It means you expend all your energy to accomplish nothing. I mean, think about all the energy that's being used today to try to explain the origin of creation outside of an intelligent creator. All the famous scientists and their theories about how there was this big bang in outer space, not because there's a God, but just because somehow things blew up. It's all futile. And listen to what Paul says as he continues here. They became futile in their speculations. That's all these theories are speculations. There's no truth in them, even though they're being taught to our school children through the public educational system as truth. They're just futile speculations. There's no truth in them. It's just ungodliness that's bringing down the wrath of God upon the world. They became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, these people walking around with their PhDs, talking about how the world came to be outside of God. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. I mean, a great example of what I just read. Listen again. Exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. A great example of men exchanging the glory of the incorruptible God for creation is right where I'm at in Colorado. This state is a very liberal state by and large, and many of the people here consider themselves as very spiritual. They spent so much time out here in nature, but they don't thank God for the beauty of the creation. They worship nature as if nature itself is God. They don't go beyond the creation to worship the Creator. This is exactly what Paul is saying here. People deny God, they deny the Creator, and they worship the creation. And beloved, it's happening today all around me, right here where I'm at. Continuing on, you see, the gospel is just as powerful today, if not more so, than it was 2,000 years ago. And because men have done this, there's a consequence. Verse number 24. Therefore, because men rejected God, denied Him, and began to worship the creation and worship themselves and worship science, therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They exchanged the beautiful truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. What is God speaking about here through the Apostle Paul? Beloved, it's plain language. He's speaking about the pervasive homosexual spirit that is so prevalent in our culture today. And there's such pressure upon the church to compromise in this area. But the Bible tells us that the result of humanity being separated from God, the result of the darkness that has separated human soul from a relationship with the Creator, the result of that is homosexuality. I'm not saying that homosexuality is the only result of that. Please, in no way, shape, or form am I trying to say that. What I am trying to point out, however, is that which the world is condoning, a homosexual lifestyle as being good and acceptable, beloved, the Word of God plainly teaches that that is not so. In fact, the Word of God says that it's unnatural. It's not according to God's built-in design in creation. Because mankind has been separated from God, a homosexual spirit has entered into the world, and it's happening now with such ferociousness and such velocity that it almost feels like the majority of people in the Western world are homosexuals. We know that's not true, even by a long shot, but the voice of the homosexual community is so strong now that the heterosexual church is afraid to raise their voice and say, no, this is an error, this is wrong, this is the result of God's wrath being poured out upon the world and Him giving humanity over to this idolatry. It's a result of sin. It's not good. It's not natural. It's not right. It's plainly wrong. Now, I might be preaching to most of you to the choir right now, but I really want to take some time to talk about this because so few people are. Beloved, this homosexual spirit that is taking captive so many people today is not building up society. It's destroying society. Now, hear me. I'm not condemning any individual that is stuck in this lifestyle. And I realize, and I say this with complete empathy and compassion, I realize that many people that are living in a homosexual lifestyle or are having homosexual feelings do not feel that they chose this lifestyle or that they chose to feel this way. I realize that many people from their earliest childhood memories remember having same-sex attractions. But beloved, just because someone from their earliest memory has that sense of having same-sex attraction, that doesn't mean that it's right. You see, beloved, we're all broken due to sin. We're all broken, and all of us have desires that aren't right. For some people, it might not be a tendency towards same-sex attraction, but for other people, it may be that they're married and they're constantly committing adultery because that's what they're attracted. They're constantly attracted to other people, even though it's the opposite sex. Both are wrong. It might be natural for someone to want to have sexual relationships with all these people, but that doesn't make it right. That doesn't mean they should give in to it. That doesn't mean God condones it, because that's the way it feels. Just because somebody might feel, oh, I feel so attracted to this person, even if it's in a heterosexual context, that doesn't mean that God blesses it. Our feelings and our attractions don't dictate truth. God's word is what dictates truth.
We hope you're enjoying today's message from Discovering the Jewish Jesus. This podcast is made possible through the donations of our friends and partners. Visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com to show your support.
Let's go back and look at this again. Somebody needs to say it. Beloved, somebody needs to say it. The scripture is clear here that because mankind is fallen from God, because mankind has come out from under the covering of the Creator, there's been such darkness that's been released in the world, then men have become futile in their speculations, and professing to be wise, they became fools. And the result of this, verse number 24, therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. What is the impurity and dishonoring of one's body that the Lord, that God is referring to here? He's talking specifically of, beloved, listen, about homosexual behavior. He continues on, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts. So once again, God's not denying that someone might have these feelings. He's not denying that someone might have these lusts, but rather people are giving in to them. And because man is separated from God, God's just allowing it to happen. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. And how are they being given over to impurity? The Word of God specifically tells us. Verse number 26, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Now, what does this mean? What's the natural function of a woman? The natural function of the woman is to be in relationship through matrimony and through sexuality with a man, with a husband. That's what's natural. Just looking at the anatomy of the male and female, even a child can figure that out, that man fits together with woman. Not woman with woman and man with man. It's like a puzzle. It doesn't fit, right? And not only that, he says, in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. So men towards men and women towards women. Now, let me tell you, this will boggle some of your minds. Let me tell you what some in the church are teaching now. And it's happening in huge mainline denominations. Some of the mainline denominations, some of the biggest denominations in the world are splitting over this issue, this exact issue of homosexuality, whether God approves it, whether he condones it, or whether it's condemned. And we have major blocks within Christendom that are saying homosexual behavior is acceptable to God. People feel that this is naturally what's in them, and God blesses them because that's what's natural to them. But beloved, listen, God does not bless what's natural to us. It's not our feeling. It's not what is natural to us that defines truth. What defines truth is the divine order and design that God built into creation. And the way he built creation is for men to be with women and women to be with men. That is what is natural. We don't define what's natural. God defines what's natural. But what many in the church are doing is they're interpreting this verse through a different lens. It's called gay revisionist theology. And what they're saying is what God is condemning is not a man towards a man or a woman with a woman, what God is condemning is that if a man has a natural affection for woman, but he exchanges his natural affection for the woman and instead decides to go into a homosexual lifestyle, that's what God condemns. So again, the naturalness, according to gay revisionist theology, is not according to what God said is natural. God said what is natural is men with women, women with men. But the gay revisionist theology in the church is saying, no, the naturalness that is spoken of here in the Word of God, they exchanged that which was natural to give themselves over to impurity. Again, for this reason, verse 26, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned their natural function of the woman and burned their desire to one another. God defines the creation in terms of the way He built it. Okay? He's the one that says what's natural. But gay revisionist theology, it says, is saying to us, no, it's bad, it's wrong if you are a heterosexual and that is what you were born with, that was what your natural tendency was, but instead of practicing heterosexual relationship, instead you just decided to go against what was natural to you and you decided to involve yourself in homosexual relationships, whether it's men with men or women with women. So I hope I'm making myself clear. This incredible, defiled, devouring, evil spirit that just has fangs on it, that's meant to steal and kill and destroy, it is being now taught to the church in the guiles of Satan, who's more seductive than any other being in the planet. He has created a whole theology by twisting God's word and is teaching that homosexuality is not wrong if that's somebody's natural inclination. It's only wrong if someone was born with a heterosexual inclination and they exchanged it to become homosexual or to engage in homosexual activity. And so once again, the new revisionist theology that's being taught is that what is natural is not defined by what God says is natural, but instead, revisionist theology is teaching what's natural is defined individually, what's natural to you. And as long as someone's doing what's natural to them, whether it's homosexual or heterosexual, God will bless it. And so, beloved, there's tremendous darkness, deep darkness on the earth right now, and this spirit is sucking up the world. I don't want you to be deceived. And I want you to know, beloved one, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, if you are someone that has homosexual feelings and homosexual desires, I want you to know God doesn't reject you as a person any more than He rejects me. But He loves us too much to leave us where we're at. One person needs to repent of one sin, another person needs to repent of another sin. But there's a difference between saying God loves you versus saying God will continue to leave you where you're at. Jesus called us to repent. He said, unless you repent, you will perish. I know for some of you, you've tried to repent, and it's so hard. You feel you're not making any progress. I'm telling you, beloved, please receive the truth. Acknowledge the truth. Keep praying. Keep seeking God. Keep turning to Him over and over and over and over again. And as you continue to call out to God and recognize that homosexuality is a sin, reject it as a sin, keep calling out to Jesus, He will, beloved, strengthen you and you will overcome. Because he that's born of God overcomes the world. And at the end of the day, he that has overcome the most will receive the greatest reward. Baruch Hashem, I love you. God bless you and shalom.
We pray you've been blessed and we hope you will join us for another podcast. If the Lord is leading you to support Discovering the Jewish Jesus, please visit our website at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. While there, you can check out our many free resources, such as teaching notes on this episode, submit your prayer requests, and do so much more. This concludes the podcast.